Friends, before we begin today's program, I need to update you on the Compassion Radio Summer Challenge. You probably know that summer is usually a time of low average giving for ministries. And that's true of Compassion Radio as well. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. So even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of continuing and uninterrupted ministry and partnership with you, right now we're facing a budget deficit that we just simply can't ignore. So I'll ask you today, can I count on you to make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us right now. Thanks so much for all you continue to do to help us reach out to the world through great partnership projects, and then to bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends, and thank you so much for standing with us right now.
Today on Compassion Radio.
Anybody who claims that becoming more like Christ means you're going to become insufferable and someone you don't want to be around has never really seen someone like that. Anybody who's come back from serving like we're talking about becomes more compassionate and more able to hear with Jesus' ear what people are really saying. And in that way, we become literally what Jesus was for people, which was the one who accepted them in love where they were, answered the questions as they came, and did something that literally transformed everything about the way they thought about the world, the way they thought about themselves, and the way they thought about God.
When we take a look at creation, and we see millions of different species, along with magnificent multicolored plants and trees, it becomes pretty obvious that God loves diversity. Well, recently, Bram connected with Brian Grisham of Word of God Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. Brian says that God wants his church to reflect his love for diversity as well. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for the final part of this very timely and important conversation.
You mentioned earlier that there are 120,000 pastors in a old, ancient denomination doing their very best to serve God with the knowledge they have. And now this effort's been taken to bring revival to the people and the pastors through a revision and a freshening of the communication, the voice of the entire Testament of Scripture. It's now available to them. And you've had the personal privilege of seeing what happens when pastors encounter this fresh Bible. Tell me about that.
It's been such a powerful experience, Bram, and I just returned with a team from our church here several weeks ago. Among the other many things that we were able to be a part of in ministry there, we were able to go visit one particular church that had been in existence for 1,600 years.
One church.
One church. It was hewn out of a rock, a massive rock in the side of a mountain. They didn't have building materials maybe like we would think of to build a building. And so they took what they had and
took it out.
They cut away everything that wasn't a part of their church. And what was left was this rock church that's literally 1,600 years old,
Wow. Laid
out very much like the instructions that are given in the Old Testament about how the tabernacle was to be laid out. So we know that they were following those writings from the Old Testament that Ethiopian brought back in order to construct the church.
The stone tabernacle.
Yeah. Serving in that church was a pastor who was 70 years old, and he had been serving the church since he was 15. So 55 years, which is about our age, me and you, imagine going your entire life attempting to be a pastor, being responsible for the spiritual nature of those congregation members that are coming, but you don't have the textbook. You don't have the Bible. You're going on your memory of what you were taught by your mentors, maybe by other seasoned family members of the faith, and you're trying to remember all that and regurgitate all that and help people understand it. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we were able to present to him in that church, in the midst of that structure that was his church, a full copy, Old Testament and New, of the Bible in the Tigrinyan language, which is his heart language. And it was one of the most powerful ministry experiences, I suppose, that I've ever been a part of. Because the core of everything that is kingdom comes from acting out the word. And if you don't have access to the word of God in a language that you fully understand and can process, then you're never going to fully be able to accomplish the kingdom work that the Bible's talking about. And so now that these pastors are beginning to get their copy, there are about 60,000 pastors who have received a copy already. So
wow.
About halfway there, our church recently did a campaign which generated funding for another 20,000 Bibles to be printed. So
okay, full stop there, friend.
Full stop.
120,000 pastors. Now, again, these are just the leads of each of these congregations. We're not talking about every believer in northern Ethiopia. We are talking about
Correct.
The people that serve them.
Correct.
So at least them receiving a Bible is halfway there. Now, we have the same experience in other parts of the world where our focus is to get the influencers, the people that are serving the most, the best quality copies of the Word of God we can as soon as possible. And the church, of course, exponentially explodes when the Word of God gets loose like that, especially when it's in good hands, people that respect
Yes.
it and can teach well from it and understand what the real meaning is and don't get confused by it, and help others to grow up and mature in their faith. It's a marvelous thing. Now, you are one church there in Shreveport, Louisiana, and you made the commitment to reach a good quarter of the entire population of North Ethiopia with the Word of God because of your giving locally, and you commended to your people the goal of raising up 20,000 Bibles to give this year. We're in the recent history here. That's a pretty impressive goal, especially when you talk about the cost involved. That's $100,000. You mentioned it was like $5 a Bible before. Your congregation Yep. committed to raise that much money for one project in that country?
They did, and the money was received in a three-week time frame.
Wow.
That's how passionately they embraced the project. Now, bear in mind the name of our church, Word of God Ministry.
There you go.
So clearly, anything that we can do that
advances
gets
the Word of
the
God.
Word out, it advances the Word. It goes to the very heartbeat of this congregation and ultimately to the pastor and his wife and their vision, which led them to start the ministry about 22 years ago.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Up next, more great insight on what it means to truly love God's people.
When everything is right, God says, go. When God says, go, His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
You and I have been a part of churches that have been in existence for hundreds of years and have been actively involved in fulfilling the Great Commission for decades.
Agreed.
This is a church that has only had a strategic and formalized mission ministry for 3 years. This is not a church that was founded in, 1912 and has been growing and establishing a missional tone for over 100 years. This is a church that's really been just getting acclimated to this for the last 3 to 3.5 years. And now we see such overwhelming response to chip away at 60,000 left.
Right.
Now we're down to 40,000
yeah.
because the campaign that we just concluded will get another 20,000.
And this sounds to me, Brian, very much like a New Testament kind of scenario because a congregation gets so empowered and so inspired by the Holy Spirit and the stories and testimonies coming back from the front lines that they can't help but give their all. Now, the original church in Jerusalem, as far as we know, pretty much every one of the original apostles went somewhere. Some were killed early.
Correct.
Others lived very long lives. But all of them got sent out. When you have a church where everybody who's been inspired by the Holy Spirit moves to do something in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's no stopping it. The world's your oyster. And your congregation is treating it as if we are the only ones left standing on the planet. We will never stop. And I believe that's the kind of motivation that literally wells up as a wellspring within you because of the Holy Spirit. So again, I want to celebrate that as a testimony of God's work in you, because if God's working through you to do what he wants done, he's there and he's happy. I sense that the blessing is upon you for the season, and especially now that he's empowering you and giving you resources to tackle big things. I believe proportionally that same story can be told of every family, every individual, every congregation in this country. There are people hearing this program in pretty much all the lower 48 states and Alaska. They are hearing this story thinking, how could that light burn brightly where I am? What would your advice be to the individual who's just somebody who's going to church every Sunday trying to be faithful? What would you tell them right now is the key to seeing that kind of missionary revival happen where they are?
You know, I think we just have to remind ourselves of the pattern that Jesus modeled for us when he was here. Everything about Jesus was trying to reach the unreachable, was loving the unlovable, and fellowshipping with the outcast. That was the foundation of his example of ministry and life. And yes, did he convey to us other things that are deeper? Absolutely. The term disciple, a follower of Christ, represents that deeper life that we can get to through prayer and worship and studying the Word. And certainly Jesus did prompt all of that, and he struck the original match. But when you look about his day-to-day ministry from place to place, he was interacting with those that the current culture had thrown to the curb. When we think about the world as a whole, by and large, a significant part of the world's population has been kicked to the curb.
Yes.
Metaphorically.
Or literally.
Or literally, absolutely. So many of them are in countries which are grossly substandard when it comes to healthcare and general nutrition and education. And so they are the outcasts. They would have been the ones that Jesus would have gone after headlong if they were around back then, because I think that's who he went after when he was on the earth modeling ministry for us.
And Jesus lives in the now, Brian, so we're talking about something he is doing. It's not something that we're looking back on.
That's right.
You're engaging with God's eternal now through this kind of work, and I'm proud of you for
Absolutely.
It. So we're encouraging those to step into that and where they are. So again, I ask you the question. Let's say there's one person who is like the only person from their congregation that's hearing this program right now. How do they become a spark and a light within their congregation to say, we could do more? Because God can raise up in us the ability to do more, and we can be part of this. How would they burn this thing into their hearts or allow God to do that to them so that it transforms or could transform their congregation over time?
I think you have to make the world small to people that are trying to get involved. People, they've said this to me in our congregation. They'll be in a worship service. We'll do a recap video of a trip to Ethiopia or Tanzania or Jamaica, something like that. And in their mind, they think, oh, okay, well, if I can't go to the other side of the globe, take 2 weeks off of work and, you know, childcare for my kids and the expense of all the trip, if I can't do that, I can't be missional. But what you've got to remember is that when we think about the Great Commission, it started with the instruction to reach your Jerusalem, which are those which are near to you geographically and near to you relationally and culturally. Well, anyone can do that. You don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to take off work. You don't have to get childcare for your kids. You don't have to spend any money. In fact, tonight we do two or three local mission events every month, and one of them is tonight at a local rescue mission. And it doesn't cost anything. It takes about an hour. It's great for families with kids. And you're back doing what you were doing. So, yes, the world is a big place. Most of this conversation you and I have had, we've talked about things happening very far away.
Yeah.
But if we can bring the world back to a much smaller place for those that are just trying to get their toes wet in this missional life, then they can start to do things right in their own community, which ultimately, I believe the Lord will grow that in their life. And they will one day see themselves getting on a plane, going to India, going to the Philippines, or something like that.
That brings to mind a couple of things, Brian. First of all, the concept of scope. And we get afraid of starting because we're afraid we'll get sucked into something bigger than we can even see or imagine. I think of the comedian Stephen Wright with one of his one-liner jokes that said, "The world's a small place, but I wouldn't want to paint it."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I get what he's saying. He's superimposing these two juxtaposed ideas of, oh, come on. Mm-hmm. When you talk about that thing, yeah, it's a big place. So I ask myself, spiritually speaking, well, what am I willing to paint? And where am I willing to spend time enough to leave my mark? And then ask God for that opportunity. I mean, if we don't ask God, he's not going to answer a question we'd never ask.
Correct.
We need to ask him questions. Where do you want me to plug into what you're doing right now? Because I want to experience it. And when we ask that question, I've never, ever heard of anybody who said, God didn't answer me.
Yeah.
Everybody who's actually been willing to step in and say, God, what do you want from me, gets an answer.
Yeah.
It is quite possible to find yourself doing the impossible because you simply asked for it. Those who ask not, get not. It's as simple as that. That's the arithmetic of Jesus right there. And Brian, the other thing that comes to mind for me is this. I've never known anyone who had been willing to cross over that threshold and be brave once, who walked into an opportunity to serve and be involved with the Great Commission in the ways you're talking, locally there, by loving people, that ever came back and said, what a waste of time that was.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't get drained from serving. They get invigorated. And they come back hungry to do more. I've never seen anybody who really threw their heart into this thing that God did not reward directly with a missional kind of attitude that brings new fruit. Being willing to say yes once means it's possible that God could make you capable of saying yes in many other ways and giving you the resources to do so.
Absolutely.
Have you seen that with the people you've worked with?
Yeah, as you're speaking, I think about that scripture that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve.
Yeah.
And when we serve the needs of others, whether it be right here in our community or on the other side of the planet, we are probably the most like Jesus in that moment that we can ever humanly be. In our flesh, in our humanity, there's always going to be a gap between us and the divinity of Christ. But when we are serving those that are in need, as Jesus modeled, we're probably as close to being Jesus as we can ever get down here on this earth.
Yes, we can.
And how can you do that? How can you have that feeling, that experience of almost crossing over, you know, to a temporary position of divinity in your life? How can you have that experience and then return to your mundane life and say, well, you know, I did it once, but that wasn't for me?
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
Taste and see that he is good.
You're forever changed.
It's a good change, too. It doesn't turn us into zealots and insufferable people. It does exactly the opposite. So anybody who claims that becoming more like Christ means you're going to become insufferable and someone you don't want to be around has never really seen someone like that.
Correct.
Anybody who's come back from serving like we're talking about becomes more compassionate and more able to listen and more able to hear with Jesus' ear what people are really saying.
Correct.
And in that way, we become literally what Jesus was for people, which was the one who accepted them in love where they were, answered the questions as they came, and did something that literally transformed everything about the way they thought about the world, the way they thought about themselves, and the way they thought about God. Brian, give me a closing word here that you would encourage others who are just beginning to step into this or being renewed in their wish for that in their own lives. What would you encourage people to say to God to begin that conversation of transformation for them?
I think we all have to come to the place where we're comfortable with letting God be in control, completely in control. We often say, sort of in passing, yeah, well, God's in control of my life. He orders my steps. He's directing my path. And all of those are true statements, and they find their root in Scripture. But we tend to keep one hand on the steering wheel.
Usually we do.
If God's hand starts pulling to the left, we're getting a little uncomfortable, we'll just pull that thing a little bit back to the right. Until the time we can truly take our hands off and let him orchestrate our lives and all that that means for the kingdom and for our families and our churches and our nation, until we can let him truly have it, I don't know that you ever really experience that depth of faith and fulfillment as a Christian that we've been talking about, because you're always hanging on to a portion of it for yourself. And there was nothing about Jesus that was self-absorbed or self-serving. And so if we want to be more like him and go deeper with him, we've got to get to the place where it's not about us anymore.
And so much better when we could do it at a time when we rationally say, I'm choosing now. making a covenant with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ himself now, so that when the testing comes and I'm tempted to draw away from that and pull the wheel back to the right, that I'll let him actually lead at those moments.
Right.
This is not a Jesus take the wheel at the moment of crisis kind of miracle.
No.
The bigger miracle for me is saying yes to Jesus when it's comfortable for us to say no.
Yes.
That we're able to cross over that kind of obedience at the time when we don't, quote unquote, need to. That God moves us enough at those moments to say, yeah, this is the kind of life I really do want.
Yep.
Let me finish this time together, Brian, by taking us back to that rock church there in northern Ethiopia. You've got a tabernacle hewn out of stone, and now you brought a word of God and handed it physically to a pastor of 55 years who'd never had his heart language word of God. And now this living stone is coming to life within that stone tabernacle. What's happened since then? What have you learned about that exercise in faithfulness on your part and on the part of the people in your congregation to bring the Word of God to the world?
It's been powerful. It was just a few weeks ago that we were there, so not much time has elapsed, but we have been in contact with five additional key pastoral leaders that are actually involved with a theological college there, which trains these pastors, and they are all so inspired. We were able to do some teaching with them, some fellowship with them, some inspiration with them, and they've come away with such a renewed sense of passion because they're seeing what's feasible in the lives of the congregation if the pastors can literally teach them in a language that they truly understand and with symbolism that resonates with them and imagery which resonates with them. They've not had it. And so these leaders are becoming so enthusiastic about the potential that has been laying dormant for centuries, and now it's like a brush fire. It's going so quick and so fast, and it's exciting to see. We'll be going back probably before the end of 2019 with another team. We're hoping to bring some of these men, these key leaders that are at the theology college, we're hoping to bring them over here in June if we can make that work logistically with the legalities of them traveling visas and such, to let them come attend our annual Bible conference that we do every year. And that would just be one more step in their process of realizing how transformational God's Word can be in anyone's life if they can truly understand what it says and if they will take the time to read it and apply it.
Amen to that, Brian. I'm thankful that you have the world in your sights now, and you never really lost that. From the moment that God put that seed in your heart, you let it grow. And you and Leanne have nurtured that in your children, in your community, and for a dyed-in-the-wool old Southern boy to be able to step across into the kingdom lifestyle, one that encompasses with love everybody in the Jerusalem that God gives you, is a beautiful thing. And I'm proud of you for stepping under God's leading that way into something that really truly is eternal and not just based on temporal pride and identity and culture.
Right.
I want to follow the story as it develops, if you don't mind getting on with us from time to time, to let us know how God's maturing this project and expanding your vision and taking your people new places. I want this to be an inspirational story to individuals and churches across this country.
Absolutely.
So that together, God will inspire many more generations of enthusiastic, passionate, and risk-taking people. That's my hope.
Absolutely. If anyone wants to just learn a little bit more about it, maybe consider becoming a part of their congregation, or just get more information, they can always email me, global@wogm.com. global@wogm.com. That's Word of God Ministries, wogm.com. Global goes straight to me, and I would be delighted to field any questions that anyone might have about any of this that we've discussed
today.
Great.
Brian, thanks for that generous offer on that, too. Bless you, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, well, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a few minutes to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast has been a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work that God is doing through this ministry. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to make your giving super easy, well, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And of course, you can always write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, it's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. We are very, very thankful for you. Please be sure to join us again next time for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.